Welcome to the podcast for the table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together a taste of the music that we experience here in worship on Sunday mornings, along with the scripture reading and a message. We would love for you to take a next step in growing in faith in our community. If that means you are here in Sacramento, to join us for worship at 9:30 or 11 in the morning at 5265 H Street, or if you're one of the many people who connects with our podcast from around other parts of the state or even the country, we would invite you to take a next step on our website by making a deep commitment to our community of faith or learning more about growing in faith at the table.
Nobody, do me like Jesus,
do me like Jesus,
can't nobody,
nobody,
do me like the Lord,
do me like the Lord,
can't nobody,
nobody,
do me like Jesus,
do me like Jesus,
he's my
friend,
he healed my body.
Scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to read from the 9th chapter, verses 2 through 9. It's what we call the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead.
I was born by the river, in a little tent. Oh, and just like that river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long, oh, a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die, 'cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
This past week, I met a woman by the name of Carol, and it was such a wonderful meeting. And I don't know exactly what impressed me so much about her, but I know that I felt better after our conversation than when we started. Carol worked for the state for years as a lobbyist, and she loved her job. She loved arguing with people. She loved bossing people around and bringing resources, much needed resources, to city senior citizens in our state. And this was not only her job, but it was a major part of her identity. And it wasn't an easy job. It demanded a lot from her, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It was so stressful that by the time she was 55, it started to affect her health. She began to develop migraines so bad that she could barely get out of bed some mornings. So she took a few days off from work and happened to get an email that week that announced that there was an early retirement package. And she opened the email, she realized that she actually qualified for retiring early and discerned that this might be God saying it's time to retire. And when she finally retired, she actually felt very lost. Her work had taken up her whole identity and her time, and she didn't know what to do with herself without a job. Until one Sunday morning at church, there was an announcement that they needed more choir members. Now, she's 55 years old, and she's never thought of herself as being a good singer. But she wanted community. She wanted something to do. So she joined the alto section. And it didn't take long for people around her to affirm that she actually had a beautiful voice. They actually started asking her to sing solos for that choir. She felt so good about her gift because when she would sing in front of the congregation, people would say how much they were blessed by her presence. And she figured that she needed to start perfecting and crafting her gift. So she took classes at Consumus College in voice and learning how to train your voice and be a professional singer. And now she's a professional jazz artist. She makes a good living singing full-time, and she even has a nonprofit that benefits young musicians who are struggling to make their full-time job their passion. And maybe that's what impressed me so much about her. That after all life's transitions, she knew that she had a light to share with the world. She had a light to shine for all people. And because she was so grounded in her truth, I became more grounded in my truth. As we dig into this text, I am captivated once again by the light that emanates from Jesus. But right before this text, we see that most of the people around Jesus did not understand his light. Would he revive strict adherence to the Mosaic law? Would he raise up an army to fight against the empire and make Israel a sovereign state? Or is he just a reincarnation of Elijah or John the Baptist? And amidst all the pressure that Jesus was in, to be so many things for so many people, he stays grounded in his truth. He knows exactly who he is and what he's called to do. He had a light to share with this world that would not be popular. It would not meet the expectations of his contemporaries. Neither would it earn him success in the world's eyes. The light of Jesus would leave him vulnerable to persecution and eventually to subject him to capital punishment. But he knew that he had to share this light. And this morning, I wonder, what would it take for us to shine our light in this world? We are beautifully and wonderfully made, each with a unique expression of love, style, and soul. And I believe our diversity is a gift from God meant to bless the world. But it can be so hard to share your light with the world. I remember just before I came out of the closet, it was just 7 years ago. It's hard to believe how much has changed in 7 years. I bought a ticket to go to Detroit, Detroit, Michigan, from Kansas City. And right before I was to go home, I actually went to an interfaith pride service. It was Pride weekend. And I was so touched by so many people who came together to affirm the image of God in all people. The gay men's chorus for Kansas City got up and sang. And they sang a song that I'd heard before, but it didn't mean as much to me back then, before I'd heard it, when I heard it this time in the church. And the words that they sang were, "I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let that light show your true colors, your true colors, your true colors make you beautiful." And as I sat in the balcony of that church weeping, because I was so moved by this song and the words that they were singing, I don't know if I quite knew how much those words would mean for me in my life. The fear that there is, don't be afraid to let that light show. The fear that there is to show our real colors is real. What will people think of my light? Will they accept me for who I am? And eventually you come to terms with the fact that not everyone will be able to understand you. And even if they understand, they won't accept. But the alternative will be worse, because it can be easy to wear a mask to please people. And some of us get caught up in wearing this mask for so long that we don't even know who we are. After centuries of slavery, a whole group of people had to rediscover who they were in a strange land. Many in the church believed that black people were not much more evolved than animals. They didn't have souls, which meant that they couldn't become Christians or participate in the kingdom of God. And this was used as justification for slavery for years. But in 1903, W.B. Du Bois wrote a book, The Souls of Black Folk. And I love that he was a person that wasn't supposed to have a soul. And instead of proving to the naysayers that he has, I'm just going to describe my soul to you. I love that. And in it, he describes the struggle of what it means to be both African and American. He talks about the fact that back then and still today, African Americans don't have the luxury of having a true self-identity, but their identity is always measured up against the dominant culture. Who we are is determined by how close we come or how far away we veer from what society calls normal. And this is why in our society, a black man is often described with a modifier or an adjective. He's either a thug or he's articulate, because there has to be some modification to communicate where he falls on the spectrum, how much he has learned to conform to dominant culture and how much he deviates. Du Bois called this phenomenon a double consciousness. And the amazing thing about Du Bois' research is that by plumbing the depths of the black experience, he uncovered a key to the whole human experience. Because to all of us, to some extent, live a double consciousness. We are all measuring up ourselves to someone else's expectation of us. Not everyone will understand how you can be a Christian and worship with self-avowed homosexuals. Not everyone will understand why you insist to welcome immigrants and refugees into our country and refuse to be afraid of a people. Not everyone will understand where you are coming from and where the Spirit of God is leading you. And this is the paradox of life, that God would create us all uniquely and insist that our uniqueness is a blessing to this world, yet put us in a position in a society that doesn't believe it, doesn't understand it, doesn't receive it. So we have to fight the pressure to conform in order to be our authentic self. It reminds me of a big tenement fire in New York City. Several people got out of the fire, but several died. And the quintessential person who was interviewed by the news station had hair rollers in and a house robe. And the reporter approached her and said, "Ma'am, you are one of the survivors of this fire. Can you tell us about your experience?" And she said, "Certainly. I don't know what has happened. All I know is that something have got to be did. Thank you." And she walked away from the microphone. And the real ha-ha of that story is the fact that I know exactly what she was saying. What she meant was that black people have been mistreated in this neighborhood, and we call, and nobody will do anything about it. And now we have had an electrical fire, and the building has burnt down to the ground, and some sort of justice movement needs to be created to give us justice in the tenements of New York. That's what she meant. But what she said was, "I don't know what has happened. All I know is that something has got to be did." We have those cultural experiences like this in this room. We have texts and subtexts, languages and sublanguages, experiences and sub-experiences. But I believe with all my heart that when we learn to stand in our truth, to own our space and to shine our light, that the world is transformed into something better than what it was. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain. And as they waited, Jesus just began to shine. Brighter than the brightest sun, Jesus just began to shine. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appeared next to him. And they started talking with Jesus. And poor Peter, he begins to make suggestions out of his ignorance. He wants to build a church for Elijah, for Jesus, and Moses. A cloud appears and fills the space that they are in. And after all the dust settles and the confusion ceases, God affirms that this is the one I've been waiting for. This is the one that you've been waiting for. He won't fit neatly into your boxes. He is firmly rooted in his Jewish tradition, but he won't be like the prophets that came before him. He is the one. Hear him. And as we seek to follow in the ways of Jesus Christ, I believe that God is calling us to turn on the light. It might seem like a small thing, but the best way to make a big difference in our world is to shine your light. It might get hard sometimes, but shine your light. It's not always going to be popular, but shine your light. People may talk about you, but shine your light. People may ostracize you, but shine your light. People may not understand it, but shine your light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If it's the last thing I do, come hell or high water, I've got to let my light shine, because I discovered it's not about me. That's the trick of this whole thing. John says that God is the father or the originator of lights. My light came from God. So when I shine my light, I'm not trying to bring glory to myself. I just want to glorify the originator who gave me this light. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I couldn't have made this much pretty if I tried. And when the dust settles for you, after all has been said and done, you may not have all the friends you thought you would have had, may not be successful in people's eyes, but you can die with the satisfaction of knowing that you held up your corner in the world, that you reflected the light that God gave you, so that when you die, you know God is giving you a standing ovation, saying, well done, good and faithful servant. God bless you, is my prayer.
This ain't light up mine.